For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, June the 26th, 1979. Summer camp meeting, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker of the evening.
Thank you, Deacon. I know that these seminars have been very beneficial, enlightening, and freedom. But tonight we feel that it's been a great program of the day, and let's get the word of the Lord and let His anointing refresh us, and praise God, have a wonderful night of refreshing. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 11:28, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture. The reason why that I feel this is important, not only in that it is simple, simple in the fact of its familiarity. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's speak life unto the word. Father, we say unto the word, live. Loose my brother and loose my sister. We thank you, Lord, for the children and the youth. We thank you, Lord, for every age that shall be motivated by the anointing of thy sacred writ. Let the glory of the Lord moving in us by the Holy Spirit, as we meditate upon thy word, that we will come into our season and our fruit. Loose the power of God, and we praise you for it, and we bless your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come unto me. I would like to have you just circle that. It is more than just an invitation to salvation. Something here that is related to what we call the continuation revelation, or that which occurs in other places of Scripture. There is a relationship that this particular phrase gives us a more expanded understanding. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, I want you to circle, come unto me, and put down the invitation to priesthood. The invitation to priesthood. Also, the drink offering. Invitation to priesthood, the scripture is Exodus 32:25. The drink offering is John 7:37. Heavy laden, it is Isaiah 61:3. I'll lift off of you the spirit of heaviness. I'll give you garments of praise. Because, of course, you're the planting of the Lord. And this is the relationship to the spirit of heaviness and the garments of praise. Ye that are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Isaiah 28. Where with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And this is the rest, and this is the refreshing. The way that I'd like to have you look at is not exactly what is said, but how it ties in to every other main scriptures. How that you can read the Word of God and miss the full expanded revelation of it. By reading this portion of Scripture, we see, and we've thought many times, this is a invitation to accept the Lord as personal Savior, and sometimes we've left it in that sphere of accepting the Lord Jesus. I know that's involved. Come unto me, all. But here is a more of a, by relating it to other scriptures, it is a greater expansion which comes upon us in the mechanics here of understanding and studying of the Word of God. Other scriptures could be enhanced and understood more fully. What we're doing is theme relationship. We call it theme revelation. Come unto me. Where is it found? Exodus 32:25. Let's look at Exodus 32:25. Come unto me, Jesus said. Now, if we look at the book of Exodus, here is another place where it is found, come unto me. It is under great stress in the life of Moses. He sees the people that have become, many of them, naked and streakers in the wilderness. He comes unto them, and in verse 25, he has the law that God has given him on the tables of stone. He throws down and breaks the law. He comes over to the gates of Israel, and there we pick up the story in verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. So nakedness is the aftermath of demonic activity. The demon of Gadara, after legion had been commanded to leave, the legion of devils, and the man was clothed and in his right mind. So nakedness and all types of the so-called naturalists or nature lovers, this is a form and a result of demonic activity. So Moses, when he saw that the people had been influenced and had gone back to idolatry of Egypt, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Please circle, come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. So this is expansion of Matthew 28, of Matthew 11, 28. Where Jesus is saying, come unto me. It is the seal of the Son of God in relationship to the theme that Moses spoke in the wilderness. Moses said, I need help. I need those who are on the Lord's side and dedicated to the purposes of God to come forth in leadership. So he went over by the gates of the people, the gates of Israel, and he cried out, and there were two mountains, one on each end, that peaked in toward each other. Now this was what we call an acoustic, miles of acoustic. A hobby of mine is the old records, that real old ones before 1925. They had to sing into and play into a type of funnel. The round funnel that tapered down and recorded. And when they sang into it, then on the record it will have orthophonic. Means there's no electricity involved. There was the orthophonic sound. They had one so huge that an orchestra could be inside it in Hollywood, California, made out of copper. And when the orchestra played, but the taper of it was two blocks long until it came down to a needle and made the record. In World War II, in 1943, it was used for ammunition and copper armament. But Moses, the Holy Ghost, already thought of that acoustic. And Moses went out, and it was already naturally performed in the wilderness. And 2 to 3 million people heard him say, who is on the Lord's side? who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. Let him come unto me. And it echoed throughout all of the people. And the Bible says there was one group that came. There was one group that gathered themselves together. And they came in one accord. The Bible says it's the tribe of Levi. God made them the priestly tribe because they answered the call of God in the time of apostasy, in the time of degradation. God raised up a people and he called them priests. Hallelujah. And the cleansing literally took place. This is what Jesus has said. Come unto me. This is the day the Lord has made it. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. That saying was written in Psalms 118. That's the great psalm of the Hallel, the great Hallel, or the praises of God during the Passover feast. When the five cups were passed, the cup of blessing, the cup of joy, the cup of forgiveness. The fourth cup was the cup of the song. The fifth cup was the full dedication unto God. That's why God said in Psalms chapter 2, he said, the kings of this earth have set themselves against the Lord and his Christ. They have said, we will break their bands asunder. The word bands means the paternal authority, the father image. Manly authority that God's given in the family, the sanctity of marriage, the respect of parents. The enemy said, we're going to break their bands in the earth, their influence in the earth is the paternal authority and the family image and the marriage, hallelujah, that's kept sacred. The kings of this earth have set themselves, not especially the monarchs and the leaders, of course they're involved, but the kings, the ones who will try to control the minds, the news medias, the magazines, the programs, in every area of communication, the soap operas, as the stomach turns. The triangle stories, everything that would minimize and put a degradation against the band or the family authority and the family unit and the father image in the earth. The kings of this earth have set themselves against the Lord and his Christ. Another thing they said, we're going to break their bands and we're going to cut their cords asunder. The word cords there means servitude. That which a person is determined to be of service. It's in the heart of man to serve and be replenished for him. To sow and to reap. But in the last days, the Lord knew that when there is a great immoral counteraction against the people of the earth, there will also be a low ebb of doing a good job. People won't put their mind to be a servant. They'll do the less they can get by with. And it's in Psalms 2. Our post office and many of our governmental agencies are riddled with this great huge problem. If a man will just do a little bit of what they're instructed to do, it would save us millions of dollars a year. We are being robbed by lack of service. Jesus is the only one. All philosophies, all types of ideals and ideas. Jesus said, if a man asks you to walk with him one, walk with him two. Hallelujah. Go with it. A man was called to be a prophet just by the way he served, just by the way he did a job. Elisha was one of the great prophets. Brother Ellingwood brought that out. I believe that here was a man who wanted a double portion. And the thought there is, I really enjoyed that, Brother Ellingwood, that he not only received double, twice as much, but abundance. Hallelujah. The abundance. But Elisha, all it says is that Elijah threw his mantle on him by the way he plowed a field. It's implied. He said he plowed a field with 12 yoke of oxen. What happened was Elisha probably was told by others, that's too hard. That's like plowing up this blacktop, Brother McCutcheon. 4 yoke of oxen is needed for a pretty rough field, but it must have been harder than our freeway. But Elisha said, I don't care, you guys. They said, Elisha, this field is too hard. Why, we have went over it. Preacher after preacher has been by here. This is a hard one. Elisha said, I don't care. Put another yoke on that oxen. God, I'm going to do the job. 3 yoke, 4 yoke, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yoke, 24 oxen. He could have plowed anything. By that determination, hallelujah, he did a good job, and the mantle of God fell upon him.
Why did you choose him, Lord? Because he had determination. When the nitty hits the gritty, he'll stay.
Glory to God. When the push turns to shove, he'll be there. I can rely upon him. He's not going to give up. He's going to stay to the task that I've called him to do. Hallelujah.
That's why Elisha could say to the servant, don't get shook up. There's more with us than there are with them. I've plowed this field before.
Hallelujah. I've been this way before.
He prayed that the servant's eyes could see the great army and the great chariots of fire around him. This is the day of determination. This is the day of service. When the kings of the earth set themselves to destroy the sanctity of marriage, the morality and the purity of the family and of relationships, husband and wife, male and female. It's beautiful when it's lawful. Some young man tells a young lady, oh, I love you. I really love you. And to show my love, I want you to just submit to me. Now, I love you. Now, I want you to submit to me. That's all. Because we have to experience something before to see if we want to go through with it or not. Well, if that's the case, then stick your head into a cement mixer and see if it works. It's about time, praise God, we had standards and standards of holiness. And standards, hallelujah, that will be achieved in the life of instruments of joy. And young man and young woman, keep your virtue until it's lawfully right, and you'll thank the Lord for it. And you'll appreciate it in a companion as well. Stay in the atmosphere where you want the purity of that which will be your life companion. I met my wife at a tent meeting in San Bernardino. And at that tent meeting of William Branham and Brother Gordon Lindsay, San Bernardino, California, 1950, the thing that amazed me, my brother-in-law Gene Boone refreshes my memory quite a bit. He was already married. My mind sometimes wandered when I saw my wife-to-be during the message. But he said every night they, and I remember seeing them, they would bring 4, I believe it was, waterhead babies from a particular place, medical institute, and they were huge. And every night, praise God, they were brought. And every night, the people just praised the Lord, and they measured
And by the end of the meeting, they were normal. God had healed them. It's one of the most amazing miracles I have ever seen. Amen. Beautiful. How the Holy Spirit moved upon them during the day and every night. It was a beautiful miracle. Now, the kings of this earth have set themselves. And God said, but I've set my king on Mount Zion. Therefore, the Lord was set on Mount Zion, and the great Hallel was that those verses and chapters from Psalms 111 to Psalms 118, and they were sang at different intervals during the Passover feast, Psalms 111 to Psalms 118. Now, when Matthew says they sang a hymn and went out, most theologians believe, and most Bible students would be a better phrase, that it was the great Hallel, the end of that, or the chapter, was the chapter of 118 Psalms. If you'll read that under that atmosphere of the Last Supper, when they sang a hymn and went out, you'll see exactly what the Lord means. I shall not die, but I'll live. Hallelujah. This is the stone that the builders rejected. He goes on and on, and he says, now the sacrifice is ready to be bound. He says, now here's my hands, bind me with cords. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. He sang that approximately at midnight. Within 12 hours, within 15 hours, he would say, it is finished. Hallelujah. He would be our Lamb, the literal Lamb of God. Psalms 2 gives us this insight. God said, he that setteth in the heavens shall laugh when those that set themselves against the Lord in his Christ. But the Lamb of God upon Mount Zion speaks. And therefore, in Psalms 2, the world speaks from verse 1 to 4. Then the Father speaks. He'll laugh. And then the Son speaks in verse 7 and 8. And then the Holy Spirit speaks and says, now kiss the Son, lest he be angry. A beautiful phrase is there, and the different intrigue that's involved is a beautiful thing. And that's why the Lord is preparing us, bringing out a people. As Moses stood among the people of the Lord, he said, I need a particular type of people. It's gone too far. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And the tribe of Levi came forth, and verse 29 of Exodus 32 says, Moses said, consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing today. Quite a tremendous thought here. It means to fill your hand, the word consecrate in the Hebrew, fill your hand with the sword of the Lord. In Moses' day, he put a literal sword in every member of the tribe of Levi. And they went out and they destroyed those who had went into idolatry. In our day, the priestly anointing of God through Jesus Christ says, come unto me, fill your hand with the sword of the Lord. Dedicate yourself to the anointing of God in destroying the enemy. Go forth in the power of the Spirit. Let the sword of my mouth speak forth from you. I, the sword of the kings that set themselves against the Lord and his Christ. And the bands of the Lord, the beauty and bands of the prophet, shall come to pass. He gave us beauty for ashes. He gives us the bands of unity and power and glory. The priestly anointing of the Levitical tribe comes forth in two particular phrases. It's ironic that Peter picks this up and talks about it. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5,
that one of the particular phases of the priesthood is our holy priesthood. And he says, now, you're the holy priesthood, a spiritual house. He brings out the fact that all of us being brought together, we come forth as a great, mighty priesthood anointing. He calls it a holy priesthood. It's a vertical anointing, the communication of God. Hebrews enlightens us a little bit and says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. It's your just recompense of reward. In the Greek there, it means don't throw your weapon down while you're being shot at. Keep the confidence that you're an anointing, the anointed of the Lord, that you have a holy priesthood in God. You're part of the spiritual. You're the lively stones making up the spiritual house of the Lord. The lively stone. Remember that. We're the lively stone. The holy priesthood was between the God and the believer. Through the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, he moves upon us and inspires us. Psalms 22, verse 22 says, I will sing among the congregation of the Lord. I will sing praises unto thee. He comes upon us and sings through us. He praises the Father. I believe it was New Zealand that the church fathers there say that it was a few years ago, in the mid-60s, when singing in the Spirit caught. There's a great anointing in that particular area. And they were singing in the Spirit, approximately 800 to 1,000 people, from what I heard. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just shut it down. And they continued to hear a voice. And no one could find the voice that was singing. It wasn't in the congregation. It was the Song of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Song of the Lamb. It was the ecstasy of it. The high praises. Profound anointings of God come upon the people, and they begin to release the holy priesthood. And the joy of the Lord expounded. And Jesus brought them into a high unity of praise. The anthems will continue to roll. The joy, the gift of the Spirit will help to flow and to increase it until there's a height of high praises. And then any prayer course or any type of contribution is out of order when it reaches the high praise. Have you ever been in a service where the praises will astound and resound and carry and rise and rise and rise till everybody singing as one? And then if you start trying to sing hallelujah or any other type of prayer course that would be good any other time, it seems so out of order. Let us learn to encourage the high praises of God. Let's ask the Lord to loose us in that. Release the high praise. With the high praise of God on our lips, with a two-edged sword in our hand, we will march right in. Hallelujah. We will be victorious in our day. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless thy name. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless thy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing, O Zion, sing. Sing, O Zion. Salama, Sandalama, Mami, Bidiati, Salamoti. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He the man land of the morning, the sand of the land of the machine. Praise the Lord. And the man of the morning, the sea. The animal land of the moon. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. Is the word of the Lord? Yes. Get ready. Someone loose the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Yea, for my people shall humble themselves. They shall turn from the wicked way, and they shall be set free. But thou shalt ascend up unto Mount Zion. Yea, come away, my beloved, and we will leap, and we will walk, and we will dance on the mountains of glory. For my anointing shall be within thee. Thou shalt overcome, and thou shalt come, yea, unto the authority of thy God. For the song of Moses and of the Lamb is thy portion. And thou hast surely been brought out, and thou hast surely been brought in to me. Therefore arise up and praise the Lord thy God. For he hath given thee the land, and the portion of my anointing is upon thee. For thou shalt surely be strong in your day. For this is the day the Lord has made it. And you will come forth conquering. And yea, the authority of my power is upon thee. For the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, shall come to pass within thee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We receive it, Father. We receive it, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just get ready. We desire it, Father, with the high praises of God upon our lips and the two-edged sword in our hand, we're going to march right in. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you feel the Holy Ghost just lift you up a little bit? Amen. Seat's not as hard, I hope. We'll hurry. Glory to Jesus. I went into Bellflower to speak at the Lord's church. Good friend of mine, Pastor Phillips. O.J. Phillips been there a long time. Revival type of a church. Been in Pentecost a long time. Hadn't been free too much. The congregation had, and praises that you and I had just enjoyed. What a beautiful work of the Lord. Gifts of the Spirit in operation. A man of integrity. We just bless him in the name of the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I went to pray for him. They gave him a few days to live. And hard lump of cancer in around the semen area, around just above the area here in his stomach and the colon area, the large intestine. It's impossible for him. He was just weak and hadn't slept in days. Paul Toberty and I went over to pray for him, and then there was a few days they'd take him to the doctor, have it analyzed. He didn't want him to do any medical cutting at all, but was relying upon the Lord, standing in the Word. Everybody was praying, and there were some events that the people of God were holding on for him. And he was upstairs just resting, trying to rest. And finally, all of a sudden, they hear a clamor on the stairs, and he'd come down those stairs, boy, like a lion. He said, "I'm healed. Jesus has just visited me, and I'm healed. Hallelujah. Praise God." He went over and ate a big meal and slept for 2 days. Just on, I tell you, just a miracle. But it was at Brother Phillips' church here about last year that this was the first time this had happened, the song of the Lord. As I got up to minister, I was prepared. And there's something more the minister is responsible to, is to be prepared and to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You can be prepared, but be out of order. Oh. And as I opened my Bible, I was ready to go. Hallelujah. I was winding her up. And just before I begin to loose the word and loose everybody, the Lord said, "You hush." That's an Oklahoma term for shut up. He said, "I want you to keep quiet." He said, "I'm going to do a new thing among my people here." And he says, "I want to teach you something, son." I said, "All right." I began to weep. I just stood there, and all of a sudden it became a roar among the audience. The song of the Lord, come on. And the Lord said, "Now what happens is, I'll tell you what's happening. You just tell them what's happening so they'll know." And they already do, but it will encourage others to release. So I said, "The song of the Lord's upon us tonight." And the roar got louder and louder. And then all of a sudden, the praises you and I just experienced begin to come forth. Hallelujah. And all the people were singing and praising God. Lord said, "Now, son, all right. Now you release the song of the Lord." And individuals, as they sing, they will sing a prophetic word, and then they sang, and then there was, I believe it was a message in the Spirit, like we heard here tonight, and then there was a song unto the Lord, and a prophetic song, beautiful. But along with that came an anthem of chorus among the people. Everybody, whatever the main subject was of the prophetic song, the people picked it up, and it was like, "Well, I'm your shepherd, and I shall lead thee, and thou shalt be strong, and the Lord shall go before thee." Something like that. "We praise you that you lead us, Lord. You're leading us, and we will be strong, and we shall follow thee." And everybody sang, and it was a beautiful chorus. And it built, and another, until there was just an anthem of revelation upon the people, and everyone seemingly, and then the Spirit said, "Open the word, open the word and sing it." And everybody picked a portion where God led them, and you could have sang anything in this word. My wife and my sister especially is many years experience with choirs. She has never heard such harmony. Both of them said, And my wife said, "Honey, I've just never been in a service like..." She just, I think, in the Psalms 91, I believe that's where my wife was, she said, "I just sang that. It's almost like I was in operetta." It was a beautiful... I saw the pastor and his son sitting sort of scrouched down in their seat with the Word of God and just singing in Matthew over and over what the Lord said, "Blessed be thou, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And they sang the Word for over 45 minutes. The Word of God was sung. Everybody. And it was not out of order. Everybody was in their little cocoon or their booth. And that settled down, and then the Lord began. He said, "Son, now I'm going to show you why I've had you be quiet. I'm going to show you a higher anointing of ministry." And somebody got up and began to sing my text by revelation. Somebody else got up and sang my first point.
Somebody else got up and sang my second point. Every major thing the Holy Ghost had laid upon my heart, the audience sang it to the Lord by revelation. The ministry of the Word was so powerful. Hallelujah. By that time, we're all just bawling and carrying on and rejoicing. God seemingly was individual to each one of us. And yet we were a unit. All over that huge auditorium. Four times as big as this auditorium. But it seemed like we were in just a little small room together. Jesus was so near and so comfortable. And then a Spanish sister, grandmother, she began to release such a cry, a battle cry, I've never heard before. She had never heard before. It was the lion Brother Lee was talking about. I'm telling you, it just shook every bit of us, every one of us. And the anointing of God come out of her. She had a battle cry unto God that was so anointed. It just lifted up everybody, but brought us into a spiritual militancy. And you know what the interpretation was? God dipped it in me, and I began to run across the platform and back and forth. I'm going to run through a troop and jump over a wall. Over and over. Hallelujah. The battle cry. And then the war dance hit them, and praise God, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, the militant war dance and the glory of God. We were ministered to, and God was preparing his army in the most beautiful way. That's happened similar things about five times. It's a little bit that I believe it's happened other places, I'm sure. But I feel that now is the hour. John 17, Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. And I believe we can come in to a higher praise. We haven't gone this way before. We don't have to have anybody teach us how to dance before the Lord. I believe the Holy Ghost will do that. Amen. There is a pureness and there is an anointing. Hallelujah. That's the high praise of God. An interesting aspect is that when I got home, David Ingalls was on the phone. The phone rang. I just hardly got in the door. Went over. He said, hey, Brother Chuck, it's Brother David. I said, David, get your pencil. Get a paper. He said, I got it. And I started in, under that anointing, the song of the Lord's on his people. The war dance, the battle cry, the war dance, the song of victory. Take your harps down off the willows. You can sing the Lord's song. In a strange land, sing, O Zion, sing. Right there in about a few seconds. The Holy Ghost gave him the tune, and it's on David Ingalls' last album. It's beautiful. The Lord is raising up that priestly, vertical, if you please, communication. And Jesus is teaching us, as he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. There is, the word perfected means a continuation, a progressive revelation in praise. I believe there's a creative praise. I believe that the large racetrack auditorium, the large baseball and soccer fields and football fields are prepared, as our money is prepared. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I've also claimed the stadiums and the auditoriums for the praise. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Who is on the Lord's side? We are.
Let's do it again.
Who is on the Lord's side? We are.
Praise God. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Holy priesthood. Articles. Peter went on to say in four verses later that you have a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood is the authority to set the captive free. The holy priesthood is vertically cousin to God. It's found in Acts 13, verse 1, as they ministered to the Lord. I appreciate Ralph Mahoney's exposition of this a few years ago. It means more to me tonight because of the special continuation of the Word. It's living and it continues to be revealed. But when they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Ghost spake and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Paul, to the work that I've called them to do. That is the refreshing anointing today in the individual prophetic word, separate me. God, of course, used an instrument. The Holy Ghost spake through a believer, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, to the work that I've already dealt with them about. Therefore, the prophetic word was a word of confirmation. But what released it was the holy priesthood as they ministered unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And as they ministered to the Lord, that's found in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Is your holy priesthood. Mark down at verse 15. It's the sacrifice of praise. The fruit of your lips. That is our holy priesthood. It literally means the sacrifice is our office. Does not mean that we praise God when we don't feel like it. And therefore, we just go out of our way to sacrifice a praise. No, it literally means you are a priest unto God, spiritually, sacrificing not the animals in the Old Testament as they did, but you sacrifice the fruit of your lips of praise unto God. It's your sacrifice, your morning sacrifice, your noon, your evening sacrifice. There's something about that sacrifice that you put over you, a canopy over your whole family. Everything that you have to do with, your ministry, the anointing of praise is tremendous. When you get up in the morning, begin to praise and rejoice and sing in the Spirit, and move in praise, and it puts a canopy of God upon you and makes you creative for that day. And does not allow you to be an hour late and a dollar short. There's an old Oklahoma tune we used to sing, life gets tedious, don't it? You open the door and the flies come in, you shut the door and you're sweating again. And in the meantime, you kick your shin. Life gets tedious. That's some of our testimony. If it ain't one thing, it's the other. But the sacrifice of praise, the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes forth from the individual. Praise is the Lord. Zechariah says, I'll sing songs of deliverance over you. Hallelujah. The songs of deliverance. Anointing, hallelujah, that praise, that creative song that praise God expels all opposition. The child of God can walk in that dimension. And the anointing will take him on in. So as you minister to the Lord, and as we sacrifice that praise, the fruit of our lips, you're set free. And verse 16 is the royal priesthood, when it says, now with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And it means the authority to set the people free. The holy priesthood came forth. The high priest threw the left hand of incense on the altar. 9 o'clock in the morning. And then 9 o'clock in the morning on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and said, these men are not drunken as you suppose. seeing it is but the third hour of the day, which means 9 o'clock in the morning. He didn't say they wasn't drunk. He just said they're not drunk as you suppose. The beautiful anointing of the left hand of God with the incense, blown on the altar, that's our holy priesthood. And the right hand of God was thrown on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's when Peter and John went to the gate beautiful, and through the gate beautiful to the temple to pray. It was the hour of prayer. And that's when 40 years of age from his mother's womb was impotent. He looked at Peter and John for alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the anointing of the Lord being upon Peter, the right hand was extended. The high priest had already, 13 centuries, enthroned. The right hand of incense on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and here was the fulfillment. The royal priesthood of the believer. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And strength came into his feet and ankle bones. And praise God, he began walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Who taught him to praise God? The Holy Ghost. And the Bible uses peculiar words. Let's look at that just quickly. Some of you might have had these marked down, but for those who haven't, let's turn to Acts 3 and verse 7. Because there's some real anointing here to setting the captive free in healing, in four dimensions. In verse 7, and he took him, I'm in Acts 3, verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The word strength, I like word studies, and the word strength there in the Greek is stereo. 2 feet, 2 ankle bones. You look this up in Strong's Concordance, and you'll find out the word S-T-E-R-R-E-O, stereo, means strengthened sound. And that's where 2,000 years later, we got our word stereophonic, two speakers. It came from the healing of the lame man at the gate beautiful, 2 feet, 2 ankle bones. That meant he was surrounded by God's creative power. He had stereophonic anointing. Praise God. He was surrounded by the orchestration of heaven. The angels of God were singing praises and rejoicing, and that's how he learned how to leap and dance. It was an anointing that was instantaneous. Stereophonic. He was in the midst of the sound. The beautiful healing that hit his feet and ankle bones. And verse 8 says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He was set free, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Now, the second word that describes this healing is found in verse 16, but let's look at verse 14. I'm at Acts 3, verse 14. But Peter's preaching here, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness. Circle that two words, perfect soundness. In the presence of you all, the Greek there explains it, holokleria, H-O-L-O, or H-O-L-O, K-L-E-R-E-A. It means wholeness. He has given him this perfect soundness. The man never walked in 40 years. From his mother's womb, he was deformed and decrepit, mentally, physically, spiritually. The Bible says that wholeness, he became whole. He became perfect sound. And the anointing of God hit him. What the palmer worm and canker worm had taken away was restored to him by the Lord Jesus. Truly, life begins at 40. Amen. Hallelujah. He was 40 years old, if some of you didn't get that. Now, what does this teach us here? My wife one day she listens to the New Testament on cassette, and doing the chores of the day. That woman, I tell you, she's wonderful. Something else. She can answer the phone and counsel and pray with people, do the dishes, clean the floor, vacuum, and have the cassette on, and study her Bible about the same time. Marianne told me when I got home, she said, "Honey, I've been listening to the Word, and I could tell by the atmosphere that was in her home." She said, "You know the healing of the 10 lepers?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, showed me this. It was beautiful. Remember Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, to the high priest?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "You know, as they went, they were healed." I said, "Well, yes." She said, "But you know, with that healing came a revelation of who Jesus is. And sometime we miss this point, but the Holy Ghost showed her that as the 10 lepers walked, they were set free. And leprosy takes, of course, fingers and deteriorates toes and sometimes a cheek or an eye. But the lepers were cleansed. And one leper, as the other, said, "Come on, let's obey, let's go ahead." And they went ahead in the traditional way to show themselves to the high priest. But the one that was healed not only wanted to go back and praise the Lord and thank Him, but he had a revelation of who the high priest is. He lives and dies the high priest, waiting for the whole body. Bless God, he ran back and fell at his knees and began to praise Him. And Jesus said, "Where are the other nine?" Which means He expected them to follow through with His words. "Go show yourself to the high priest." And every time you're healed, a revelation of who Jesus is. Hallelujah. I think that's wonderful. Praise God. As he praised the Lord, his question was never answered. Where are the other nine? But they continued, even though they were set free in their tradition. But Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee." And what the palmer worm and canker worm and leprosy had taken away was restored. Creative miracles. God restored the fingers and restored the cheek and the eye. I'm believing God, hallelujah, for creative miracles. Joel confirms this when he says, "God's going to restore." Hallelujah. God's going to restore. In the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And with that shall come a great army of my people. With that, what the palmer worm and canker worm has taken away, I'm going to restore it. Hallelujah. Those who have blown their mind with jokes, and those who, even amputees and other things that have happened, God says, we're going to see creative miracles in our day. We thank you for it. Let's clap the creative clap of joy. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Lord. We're made whole. Perfect soundness. Hallelujah. Whatever the world thinks the devil has taken is restored in your life. In we restore you in Jesus' name. You're restored. Praise God. Hallelujah.
For that which yea has been taken from you shall be working together for your behalf. The Lord thy God will restore thee. Yea, I will come upon thee, and I will move upon thee with my glory. And thou shalt surely see that the Lord's hand, yea, is not shortened, and his ear is not heavy. But I will bring you into the heart of our God, and you shall see that the key of David is with thee, and thou shalt shut, no man will open, and thou shalt open, and no man will shut. For I will restore my anointing upon thee, and my God will reign within thee, and you will see the blessing and the glory of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the next word that explains the healing of the lame man is in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, and let's look at verse 8. Here is again the clue to the royal priesthood. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done. Now please underline the good deed done and put down Hebrews 13 verse 16. And you'll know why that I had you relate that scripture, those scriptures together. The good deeds, which are a sacrifice unto God. It's your royal priesthood. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Here's another word now. The word whole is sozo. S-O-Z-O. And this word means, of course, the spiritual deliverance, the deliverance of all types of satanic hostility, all demonic power. He was sozoed. Hallelujah. He was delivered and set. This is another type of description that he, by the help of another, was set free. Praise God. Delivered not only physically, but delivered spiritually. The word sozo is a tremendous word that means the right mind set free completely. It is what happened similar to the prodigal son. He came to his right mind. He was set free and delivered by the command and authority of another. Hallelujah. The sozo deliverance is that which sets us completely free. So this, if we be examined for the good deed done, the important man by what means he is made whole. Hallelujah. He is completely set free mentally. He becomes creative. He knows how to worship. His mind is completely free. And then the next word is verse 14. And beholding the man, I'm at Acts 4:14. And beholding the man which was healed. And please circle the word healed. Standing with them, they could say nothing against it. This word healed is therapeuo, which is where we get our word therapeutic. The man was completely set free by the help of another. Similar thing that happens, but as sozo. But it's in a different form that he was whole. It was his whole being. And by the therapy of another. In other words, he says, somebody came. God came. And the Lord sent along Peter, and he received a therapy. And this word therapeuo is also used for the healing of the nations. In Revelation 22, verse 2, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. This is the priestly anointing. And in Psalms 1, it says, your leaf will not wither. That's the therapeutic anointing of God that sends you forth. Oh, well, I've got to be called. No. The word says you're a therapy to everyone you meet.
when you go in the name of the Lord. Let us go forth. We'll continue in that subject, but our timing is up. We appreciate the anointing of the therapeutic anointing of our God and the revelation that comes by setting people free. Thank you, God, for the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. Let's praise the Lord. Shall we all stand and clap unto our God? Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We glorify thy name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless thee, Lord. We praise thy name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Under the maranda, the maricidio. Rise up. Rise up, my love, and come away. We bless thee, Lord. We bless thee, Lord. We bless thee, Lord. We bless thee, Lord. Andalama, shandalama, randalama. Praise the Lord.
With the word just loosened. Praise God.
Yea, so shall I rain upon the mountain.
Yes.
It shall be that that will melt the hardness of the heart.
Yes.
Yea, it shall prepare the ground on Mount Zion, for I shall plant there a handful of seed in the top of the mountain in this day. And so shall it bring forth the rivers that will flow into the valley, and the seed that I have ordained shall come forth. And the harvest shall be plentiful. Resist not the moving and the rain of my spirit to wash your heart. But know that I shall call a people, and they shall, yea, they shall go forth as an exceeding great army. And they shall be my army that will not fail nor falter. But know, my children, there shall be a melting of the heart and the soul until my priests are surrendered. Until they in total surrender shall bring forth the message that I will place within the heart.
Do it, Jesus. Yes. Amen. We receive that. Let's say it. We receive that. Let's clap unto the Lord, the creative clap. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I've had several amens from those that have had a big day today, but we appreciate the blessing of the Lord and for your faithfulness. And the new day starts about 7 in the morning, and it's a big day tomorrow. Amen, and tonight.
You are dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.